They want me to get rid of my dog. Can they do that?
I'm being fined for leaving my garage door open too long.
What are covenants? Do I have any rights?
Help, I feel like I've left the American zone.
If you want the answers to those questions, join me, Sue Bartholomew, and my guests on The Commons every Saturday from 2 to 3 right here on WBR Fairfax Radio. We'll ask the experts and we'll untangle the truth about what's left of our property rights.
On the Commons is a weekly radio show dedicated to discussing the many issues surrounding mandatory membership homeowners associations. Join us as we explore this relatively new world of controlled living, which includes condominiums, cooperatives, and both attached and detached single-family homes. Living in a common ownership development means giving up the American dream. It means giving up your constitutional rights and control over your most valuable asset, your home. Living in a homeowners association means leaving the American zone. This is On the Commons, and I am Sue Bartholomew. Coming to you live from Fairfax Radio in Fairfax, Virginia. I'm very pleased to have with us an old friend, Dr. Gary Solomon. Dr. Solomon has pretty much dedicated his life to trying to show us that HOAs are harmful to our health. He has retired from being a full-time professor. He has written a phenomenal ebook called HOA Crisis in America. It is free. It is online. It's HOAcrisisinamerica.com. Read it, listen to it, watch it. It's phenomenal, and you will walk away understanding exactly what he is talking about. Gary, thank you so much for joining us today.
Well, thank you for having me on this show. It's always a treat.
Gary, what have you been doing? I talked to you yesterday, a couple of days ago, and you were very busy running between meetings.
Well, I, you know, still continuing to do the research on HOA syndrome. Of course, the listener probably is aware of the fact these are the holidays. So, getting things done is a little difficult, but in a pleasant way. So I'm trying to enjoy the holidays while I'm at the same time doing the work and working on this, working on the research.
So you're continuing to work on the research?
Oh, constantly.
One of the things that you wanted to do was to make sure that the medical community understood what this was doing health-wise.
Yes. Yeah, I my major concern, one of my major concerns with this is that the people in general, the medical community in general, does not understand the extreme detriment that people are going through in terms of their health. And if I can get this point across, I think I can accelerate the amount of concern that the, if you will, the research community, the scientific community, has to do something about this. Currently, there doesn't seem to be, in, at least as I view it, they don't seem to be terribly concerned. It's always tomorrow and tomorrow. It's always, well, let's talk about something else. Let's research something else. This is really important. This is so far out of hand now that I think I've come to a loss of words how critical this is. And I just keep on trying along with you, along with others, and can't seem to get the point across. We have a crisis here, and it's not going to go away on its own.
You know, Gary, we have a crisis, and you have demonstrated beautifully in your book how the stress of living in an HOA affects you physically. But there's also the mental problem. There's also how it affects you emotionally.
and mentally. And we know we've had people who have committed suicide. They've just reached the end of their rope. They cannot deal with HOAs anymore. And to them, it's infinitely better to kill themselves, to get away from this mess,
yes,
than it is to try to figure out how to fix it. And I don't think you can fix it.
It's so disappointing, Jill, that we talk about, you know, general health concerns. We talk about wanting to have a healthier, stronger community. Yet when I bring this up before them, when I try to get the community, the health community together to listen, the general community, they can't grasp the amount of social, psychological, physiological detriment that is taking place against the homeowners and the families. We can no longer talk about this problem in a singular sense, but rather we have to talk about it in the sense of what's going on with the whole family. What about the kids? What about the grandparents? What about the uncles and the aunts? This is becoming a topic of conversation at the dinner table and over a casual cup of coffee that now is the focus of conversations when it should be about what good things are going on in life and how positive their lives are. Look, we're in the middle of the holidays here. We're talking about this still. After years of doing these shows, we're still talking about this.
We're talking about this because I want to make sure that we keep it on the skyline. And we're talking about it because it is still going on.
Yeah.
And we cannot seem to get the people in a position to do anything to grasp and understand the seriousness of what's happening here.
Well, and Sue, I'm going to sound dark here, and I know it, but you've known me long enough. My goal is to tell the truth and not to make it up. It is my belief, after having studied this now for over 7 years, that this problem is rooted in our federal government. It was my theory at one time that the federal government did not know, that they were not aware of what was taking place. I now know that's not true. I now know that the federal government is completely aware of what's happening here. And they don't want to have anything get in the way of the cash flow and the income and the money connected to these growths. And as the growth takes place, and now what I'm referring to growths, what I'm referring to is all of the money that's coming into the general government coffers as a result of the HOAs. Hundreds of millions of dollars making their way into a singular bucket that says to the federal government, give us more. We want more. And we don't want to do anything to earn it, and we don't want to do anything to upset the apple cart. Give us more.
It's a bottomless pit, isn't it?
It is. So unthinkable. So unthinkable that we would do this to ourselves. I thought that we had enough of this in the Second World War. I thought that we had had enough of this when we had our own civil war here in the United States, where we were trying to separate right from wrong. And now we're right back in it again. We're right back into profiteering off the backs of others, literally a new form of slavery. I don't want to minimize what black communities went through and black individuals went through during the slave period by saying that, well, that's what we have here. But I do want to say that we have another kind of slavery. And these individuals living in HOAs are now slaves to their homeowners associations. And it's not going away.
No, it's not. And I think also the medical community is complicit in all of this. There are so many things that we know. Science has done some phenomenal work. But again, we seem to be, everything we do seems to be geared towards providing the pharmaceutical companies with more clients, if you will.
Yes.
The money is in the medicine instead of fixing things, instead of healing and curing people, which we can do. I mean, technology's there. But then the pharmaceutical companies won't be making as much money. So
yes.
They're not doing that. They're not reaching out.
And it's becoming such a huge moneymaker at the level of the federal government that they literally, our own government, has become habituated to this money.
Well, our own government seems to be easily bought. So the special interests throw a few million dollars here and there. I mean, it's nothing out of their pockets. And you'll have the government kowtowing to the special interests. And then the slaves, as you coined us, which I think is a very appropriate term, end up paying the price.
That's right.
And we need to stop that. We need to stop that. But how?
Yes.
How do we do that?
The only way, in my opinion, to stop this is if the very government that has assigned the HOAs to private concerns for management takes it back. That the government needs to be responsible for having their own meetings and their own generalized meetings all over the country. And all of these meetings would in turn be, if you will, quadranted out. And meetings would be handled on a regular basis. They would be literally become part of the weekly meetings that are taking place at our government buildings. And this would be handled by government employees who aren't incentivized to create a fine, who aren't incentivized to hurt a homeowner, but rather help a homeowner.
You know, over the years, Gary, we've allowed HOAs to grow, and we've bought into all of the lies that we've been told, to the point where now you're seeing governments, real governments, emulating HOAs. After all, if you will allow your neighbors to treat you that way, why can't your government do the same thing? It's got so bad.
Yes. And I'm going to suggest here that possibly people have gotten so tired of hearing this that they have turned a blind eye, a blind ear, if you will, a deaf ear, to this because they're tired of hearing it. It's not getting any better, but they're tired of hearing it.
I think they don't know what to do. I think there's a tremendous amount of fear.
Yes.
I hear from people they're terrified. They They're afraid of saying no. They're afraid of asking questions. They're afraid of being put in the hot seat. They're afraid of finding themselves in the crosshairs of an angry HOA. And so they just let them get away with it. It's easier to turn the other side to the other cheek than it is to say, wait a minute, you've gone too far.
Yes. I agree completely. And because of the fact that these are individual within individual states and then city and local municipalities, the federal government gets to say, gosh, you know, not our problem. Just keep on sending that money into the federal government because we have another problem called we need to repair our infrastructure. And we need that money that you're getting through HOAs so that we can save those tax dollars.
It's a mess. It's a mess. I think one of the things that we need to do is figure out a way to empower people.
Yes.
And make sure that they're not afraid.
And it's very, very difficult when you have a court system that has now become so corrupted with this. Sue, there was a time this year that I was spending 1 to 2 days a week in court on court cases involving homeowners associations. That's tapered down now because it is clear that the judges themselves have been directed, keep your hands out of this. Don't follow the law. Make it up as you go, but don't decide against homeowners associations.
Because the judges are paid from the same municipal funds that HOAs are actually augmenting. Because if you look at your local municipality, whether you live in a city or a county or a township or however it works out, you're paying taxes, right?
Yes.
The court system is usually in that jurisdiction to pay the judges' salaries, to pay the court costs, to handle all of that. The money's going to come out of the jurisdiction's coffers. The homeowners and the homeowner associations, through the homeowner associations, are funding that.
Yes.
So there's a conflict of interest no matter which way you look, it seems. Everywhere you turn around, Gary, there seems to be a conflict of interest.
Yes. And I, again, going back to my statement about the courts, I can tell you, I can tell your listeners, I can tell the general public, the judges themselves have been directed to stay out, stay away. And it is so clear in listening to the decisions that they're making where this is coming from. I mean, it's embarrassing.
How many of the attorneys representing the homeowners are doing a good job?
So few. If you can find an attorney, if you can find an attorney who's willing to take on the HOAs, that's something unto itself. But the problem is, there's no money in it for them. There's no incentive to get them to do what they're doing well.
Well, I'm excited to say that we are seeing more and more attorneys who are representing homeowners. There is money there. I think one of the things, especially in places like Virginia, where the law says that the prevailing party is entitled to fees and costs, and a number of cases here where the homeowner has had an attorney, in two cases that I know of, the homeowner was an attorney, but they did not represent themselves. But they did work with their attorneys, and they knew what they were talking about. They did the research. They sort of
planned out the arguments behind the scenes, and once they got into court, their attorneys argued based on a lot of input from the homeowner. And they won, and they won it, and managed to recoup their fees and their costs.
Right.
In one case, it was over $100,000, and they ended up bankrupting the association. And what's neat is that the association, what they did was they gutted the powers of the association. And they turned it from a war zone into an actual community where people actually work together and plan things. But there are no architectural control committees. There are no, you know, no restrictions, no, you know, covenants, none of that. That's all gone. And the upside to that is that the homeowners themselves have gone ahead and made improvements and increased their values considerably. Values that were being impeded by the association's nonsense and their rules and regulations and their lack of willingness to allow people to make improvements. And they depressed property values. So it can be done. All right, we lost Gary for just a minute, but he's back. I've got him back. Gary, thanks. We were talking about lawsuits and how it's hard to find an attorney to represent a homeowner, but that when you do find an attorney, you know, work with them. It's very difficult because it's so emotional and the homeowners get involved emotionally, but you have to put the emotions aside and you have to work on actual law so that you make it very difficult for the judge to vote or to find against the homeowner.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think?
You're right on the money. It is so difficult. It is so horrendous to try and do this. And the amount of money that it takes for the homeowner to be able to file their lawsuit against a group of people who's funded by the homeowner. That very group that you're trying to sue, you're supplying money to so that you can't sue them.
Yeah, they're using your money against you.
That's exactly right.
And so there has to be a balance of power somehow. We have to be able to equalize it so that, you know, you've got the scales of justice and they're supposed to be even. But right now, in HOAs at least, the scales are tilted so far away from the homeowner and so far in favor of the HOA.
Yes.
We've got to balance that out. The scales have got to balance out somehow. And I think that's what we need to do. And we need people to understand that it's not just mortar and bricks, or in this case, cardboard and scotch tape that we're dealing with. But as one of my guests, future guests, will talk about, is that, you know, there are two homes. There's your body and the structure that you house your body in. So you've got two homes that need to be fixed. You have the home that your body, that you're talking about.
Yes.
And you also then have the structure that you house that body in.
That's right. That's right. We seem to have lost the balance in that process. And that balance has been lost in the name of greed.
So how do we get it back, Gary? How do we bring this balance back? How do we fix both houses?
I return to something that I've already said. I don't think that we can get it back until homeowner associations are turned over to local government to operate, so that they are the ones that are managing the homeowners associations. Look, we already have it in place. We have the people in the trucks driving around the city, and they're looking at this, and they're calling on that inspection, and so on and so on. But, the problem is that if they give it back to the city, private wealth management company, attorney, collection companies, will not be able to make any money. The last thing they want to see is to have some organization such as the government take over this process. All the profit goes right down the drain.
But the thing is, the industry is actually running the government in a lot of instances where they've gone in. Fairfax County has a radio show that taxpayers pay the salary and hires a liaison between the county and CAI. You have a panel down in Richmond. It's a state, the Common Interest Community Board. They're the ones who come up with all the legislation controlling associations. So they have, and again, it's all run by CAI. CAI is on the panel. The CAI decided that that's what they wanted. There's an ombudsman. Everybody says, oh, how lovely, you've got an ombudsman. Well, we're paying an attorney who's supposedly an ombudsman, and the only thing the ombudsman is allowed to do is to tell you that she's not allowed to do anything. So that's costing us money, and we're going through a real government, if you will, there. So there's a big blurring of the lines. It's no longer clear-cut.
Yes. Yes.
And that needs to be clear-cut. The Constitution.
I can tell you, I don't know if I'm speaking for anybody else but me, but after having done this for so long, I'm tired. I am tired of fighting this battle. There is nobody replacing me. There's a few of us out there. We're scattered throughout the country. But in terms of uniting and coming together and creating larger numbers, it's not happening.
I think one of the problems, and I understand what you're saying about being tired. I've been doing this. This show is in its 16th year. So July 1, I will be celebrating 16 years. So I've done it for a long time. But before that, I was involved as well. So I go back to the late 80s. I'm tired. I'm tired. I just feel like I've been wasting my time.
Yep.
And I'm just not getting through. But again, there have been so many lies out there that people believe it. They believe that it's going to protect their property values. They believe they need it. They believe that if they don't have an HOA, somebody's going to paint their front door red or put their cars up on blocks. You know, how do you, and again, it comes down to fear and misinformation. And that you need to empower people. You need to get them to understand that, you know, a red door in your neighborhood is not going to devalue property values. However, an architectural control committee that is going to be arbitrary and capricious and refuse to allow you to make any changes is going to impede your property values.
Yes.
But people need to understand that. I mean, just because something's been repeated over and over and over again does not make it true. HOAs don't protect your property value. That's all I was going to say.
They do not. And this idea of parroting this, well, HOAs increase property values, is complete and total nonsense. They will say this, but there's absolutely nothing to prove or support the notion that if HOA, therefore greater property value. It's not true. It's absolutely not true. But boy, they've done a great job of getting people to buy into it.
Yeah, they've been repeating it for years. HOAs protect.
Women don't make as good of doctors as men. Women aren't as good in politics as men, and so on and so on and so on. When none of this is true, and we bought into it. Look at what we're leaving for our children. Look at what we've done.
Are our children going to be healthy enough physically to take over?
I truly question whether they are.
You know, I talk to parents of young children who are being abused by their HOA,
mm-hmm.
and it's affecting the children.
Yes.
It's affecting the children.
There's no question about it. I've written about child abuse by proxy.
Yes.
In homeowners associations. There's no question about it. It exists. I try and get the government to step in and at least do something at that level. They don't want to have anything to do with it.
So for the children, Gary, you say child abuse by proxy.
Mm-hmm.
How can parents now protect their children?
Never was. Don't buy a home in an HOA. Don't do it. I understand that the home looks cute and nice and all of that and all of the colors and this. Don't do it.
But if you are in an HOA and in some places you don't have an option, you really don't. They tear down the non-HOA housing because it's not smart growth. It's a bad use of land, and so they want to tear those houses, small houses on a quarter of an acre, a third of an acre, whatever it is that you have, and put in townhouses and condominiums because that's smart growth.
Right.
Actually, it's stupid growth, but that's beside the point.
Yes. Yes. I wish I had the magic answer, the magic bullet to make this go away. I don't have it. I thought I did. Years ago, I thought I had the answer, and I wrote it up, and I presented it, and I said, now that you know, stop doing it. I had no idea that the very people who I was talking to were the people that did not want this to go away. They wanted this negative, disparaging, evil practice to go on.
So many different ways that children are being hurt by this. They're being hurt by our sheer stupidity, and that's all it is, Gary. It's our stupidity. By our, I mean the adults, the people in charge, the people in power, the people who have the ability to do what we're doing. And the people who are afraid of responding, the people who are afraid of fighting back, the people who are buying all of the lies that they're told.
Yes.
It's got to stop.
And the politicians that are getting elected and reelected on the backs of these false statements.
I think one of the things we need to do is make sure that the special interests can no longer buy politicians. I think that's a huge problem in this country.
Yes, I completely agree. It is counterproductive to what our goal is, which was to create a government without bias.
So we're voting for people, we're electing people who are nothing more than streetwalkers, just common streetwalkers, who stand there at the street corner and they'll do anything for a couple of quarters.
Yep.
Two bits, and you've got all the laws in the world that you want, and then the entire bully power of the government to back you up. So I think, get someone who cannot be bought. Make sure that nobody has the ability to put that kind of money in there.
At some point along the way, laughing at the insanity is, of course, incredibly inappropriate, but it seems like it's the only thing that we can do, at least at this point, is just to laugh at
them. Well, there's a lot of power in laughing at them, because they look stupid, they feel stupid, mm-hmm. and if you use exactly what they're doing, you can do that, but it's gonna take more than that. I mean, that's going to help you maintain your own self-balance, I think, because that comes from healing your own body. It's where you sort of laugh at it and you don't take it quite as seriously, but it's difficult to do when you're being targeted. It's difficult to do when they're coming at you nonstop.
I don't know how many times more we can be taught this lesson. War after war has the same problem, the same issues, and it never gets better.
How many? I'm sure you hear from a lot of people, and I'm sure that you hear a lot of stories, Gary. What are some of the, is there a trend that you're seeing?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. The trend is multifold. Number one, it is a well-organized machine that is taking over the communities, not locally, but nationally. That is corporations that are now buying out the management companies, the collection companies, and the law firms.
Yeah. Yeah.
They are the ones that are controlling all of this now. The next thing is that as that takes place and the management companies are now being run by the national firms, they're strategically foreclosing on the individual homes as they elect. You literally today can make arrangements to go into a neighborhood and say to a realtor, I want that one. No problem. It's not for sale, but we'll foreclose on it. We'll target that home, and we'll get it for you.
Wow. That's happening?
It's happening all the time now. All the time. And I cannot get people to understand what is happening to them. That the individual homes are really a function of targets. Levied on by people who have an interest in getting that particular home. It is nothing less than remarkable. When one buys into a homeowners association, one automatically is buying into an area where someone may go to and say, gee, I like that one. I want that one. And so they do.
How are the agents getting them? I know that you have a lot of agents on boards who live in those associations, but if you go in to another, supposing you went into a different, with your agent into a different association, how are they managing to get those houses targeted so that they can sell them to you?
It's really quite simple. Let us assume for a moment that you're on the HOA board of 300-400 homes. Now, someone is interested in a particular home in that neighborhood, and they contact someone on the board and say, can you get me that one? Sure, no problem. Just be patient. And now they start targeting them with fines and letters and harassment, and they start sending them out on a daily basis. Now that very home that was a wonderful home in the community now has been earmarked for foreclosure. Ultimately, that home is going to get into the hands of someone who wants to resell it for profit. Not because the seller wants to sell it, but because it's in an HOA and they want that house. And it's going on all the time now. It's very difficult to get people in a place of authority to understand this. But it's going on all the time. I just, 2 days ago, get a knock on the door of a family that's being targeted. What can you do to help us? And it is clear. They want their home. The HOA wants their home because these people on the boards are going to make money on it.
Wow. What a wonderful world we have built.
We have done the extraordinary to ourselves. Absolutely the extraordinary to ourselves. Non-stop. And not getting any better, but rather getting worse.
Are you hearing from more people who are having physical, emotional health issues?
Yes. At one point, and I still am attempting to do this, I'm trying to have the government step in so that they will support an ongoing study that will supply the necessary information to show how the health concerns of people in HOAs is different than those who are not in HOAs. Now, the listener could hear that and say, wait a minute, well, that's ridiculous. It's going to be different. But across the board, as we listen to it, what's causing that difference? What is the key factor in making the difference?
Would it help if we managed to get that question on a profile? You go to your doctor, you fill out a form. If one of the questions that they ask you is, do you live in an HOA, would that give us...
You bet.
Okay.
Just get me that information, and with that information, I can compare it with the rest of the medical file, and I can predict with little doubt that if you tell me you live in an HOA, I'm going to tell you what medical problems you're having.
Census Bureau, putting HOAs on there, do you live in an HOA or not? Would that be helpful?
You know, it sounds like it would be helpful, Shu, but unto itself, not without the medical information. I need the data from the doctors and the medical offices to tie it together. I already have the census. I know how many people are living in HOAs.
How do we get that medical information? Because you have, I mean, we do have some privacy issues here.
Yes.
How do we get that, Gary? How can we reach out? Is it voluntary?
Yes. An individual, you, for instance, go and see your doctor. There is a point on that chart, on that file, where you will say, yes, I authorize my information to be released to so-and-so. Well, simply add that you're going to allow the information about the fact that you're living in an HOA and your medical history, you're going to allow that to be released to the XYZ organization who compiles the data.
So is there an XYZ organization, or do we need to set one up?
There is such an organization. We have those organizations now. We can't get them to get the question onto the questionnaire when you go see your doctor. You'll fill out a 5, 6, 7-page instrument that has to do with health and circle where it hurts and how much pain and to what degree and on and on and on. This we got. But I can't get the simple question, do you live in an HOA, on a medical intake form. If I get that data, I can at least take the information and say, what more information do you want? Can't you see that people living in homeowners associations are living a less healthy life than people who are not living in HOAs?
So how do we get to do that? Who has the ability, the power to do that, Gary?
Probably the strongest organization is the AMA, the American Medical Association. These are the people who, in part, drive the way the forms are created in doctors' offices. Now, I would say to you as a sidestep that we have another mess here in that if you go to, let's say, two doctors or three doctors over a one-week period, you will fill out three forms, all of which are different in terms of the structure, but basically they have the same information in them. So I'm going to have you look at the form, and you're going to say, well, wait a minute. If I had filled this form out once and it had been sent to the three doctors, that's all that needs to be done. But you don't do that. You've got to fill it out three times, making it more and more and more complicated. We are a long ways away from getting the American Medical Association to address this problem. And you know, now in this conversation between you and I, Sue, we're really, the listener would say, now, wait a minute, how did we get to the American Medical Association while we were just talking about homeowners associations?
It's all tied together.
They're tied together. They're not separate. We need the data. We cannot do this without the prove-up data.
So do we need legislation?
Yes.
Mandating, so we do need legislation, and we need the legislation at the federal level to make sure that all of this information gets out there, yes?
Yes, but shooters, look, we're back to the beginning again. It's the very legislative bodies that have been organized and are pumped full of money via the HOAs to make sure that votes don't go against them. It is, of course, a catch-22. I would rather the salaries of the people at the government level be increased than continue to do what we're doing right now.
I'm trying to think of a way to make this happen.
If you come up with something, Sue, will you let me know?
Yeah, we're going to have to talk to a friendly legislator and get them to write legislation on this. And just require that the information be collected from the patients. And this is where you would come in, because you're infinitely, I mean, this is your area of expertise. And if we could just get that done, if we can go to the federal level and find somebody to get something introduced at the federal level, and hopefully PAP.
And I, it should be as simple as, look, I've said this before, if we had bad lettuce, if we had bad water in the grocery store, if we had bad soap, we'd pull it off the shelf right now as we are speaking. That's how efficient and effective it would be to do it. But try and get them to stop this.
It goes
by year after year after year.
Okay. We need legislators.
Yes.
and we've got to get them to understand. So we need to reach out to the legislators. That's one thing. The other thing that we need is we need to get some really, really good reporters who understand the who can grasp it, because sometimes I have to wonder about some of the reporters. But let's grasp. Let's get a good reporter from, say, the Wall Street Journal or one of the more national papers, or even a large paper like the Washington Post, you know, the Chicago Tribune. I mean, all of these major papers. Get that out there. Maybe we could write op-eds, see if we could get op-eds in there. What do you think, Gary? Would that help?
Yes.
Put that on the skyline?
And I have to admit, I have, you know, one of the things that I have on my list of things to do is to write op-ed pieces regarding the HOAs and the regarding material that's taking place. But, you know, there's only so much, so many hours in the day.
Oh, I know. I know, and I'm not much, and I hate writing, so I have a hard time with that. But, you know, if we can do that, so we get that out on the skyline, we put it out in front of the public, we reach out to our legislators, the federal legislators, if we could at least get it out there. I mean, even if we do this at the state level, Gary, if we can just start the noise.
I agree. I agree. But I would tell you, Sue, inside of starting the noise has to be a removal of the financial incentive in the names of these people so that money is taken off the table for them.
We're going to have to have a very good reason to do that.
Yeah.
And because that's not going to happen right now, unfortunately. But I think if we can show the effects, we may have an easier time to dismantle all the rest of it.
I agree.
And I think key to that is special interests. I mean, they're the ones who are running the country. And they're running the country not for the benefit of the citizens, but for their own pockets.
Yes.
And that has got to stop, in my opinion.
In my opinion, too. And the amazing thing is how bold they are about this, that they will, a camera crew will come along and may just shut the door in their face. We're here to talk about the money you're making up. We're gone.
Yeah.
I mean, once these people get in office, and I don't care whether it's a judge or whether it is a legislator, once they're in office, they bought themselves a living, and they're not letting go.
Yeah, I know. I know. So we've got some homework to do, right?
We've got a lot of work to do.
We've got a lot of work to do, Gary.
And I guess I would end with the following. We've got to bring some young people on board here. Get them involved. The truth is that mainly older people are involved in this, and it's not helping that we're getting older, Sue.
Oh, I refuse to accept that. We're like a fine bottle of wine. We just get better, Gary.
That's right. But I just turned 68 a few days ago. I haven't got a lot more of this in me. I'm not seeing new, young voices come on board.
Happy belated birthday.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
It's just a number, Gary.
That's right.
It's just a number. And we're going to keep going. I'm right behind you. So thank you so much for joining us today, Gary.
Well, as always, it's wonderful to talk to you, and I don't know that we'll be talking before the holidays. Have a great, great Christmas and New Year, and let's keep on fighting the good fight.
We will fight the good fight, and I will talk to you before then, but happy Hanukkah and happy New Year, and we're going to make a difference, Gary.
All right. You bet.
We will make a difference.
You bet.
Thank you.
All right, thanks.
Please check out our website at onthecommons.us. On the Commons is produced by OTC Multimedia Productions.
Well, I finally bought my dream home to enjoy retirement life. I've made new friends and buddies, lots of parties for my wife. It seemed that life was perfect, all my neighbors felt the same. Then along came death by CCRs, life's over, I'm fair game. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Now there's lots of open meetings close to justice for HO. Those arrogant board members say what they want you to know. The CAI and ULI will help you lose it all. But I wouldn't sell that dream home yet, the writing's on the wall. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Well, we're not afraid or stupid, all your threats mean nothing here. Time marches on, soon you'll be gone, united we'll be there. So put your rules and CCRs up where the sun don't shine, and enjoy those precious golden years, stop messing around with mine. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell.